Why did I come down here today? Well, it's because we're going to talk today about gossip, and I want you to be able to hear everything I'm going to say because it's really good. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's just good sometimes, like when I'm up here, it's good. I'm proclaiming God's word. I believe I'm proclaiming God's word down there as well, right? I mean, that's what I pray for every Sunday. But if I come down here, what this means right away is I am just like you. Everything I speak about in here today, like most Sundays, but particularly today, because sometimes it's a squirrely thing we don't like to talk about, but I felt the Holy Spirit was saying, you need to do this. I've been thinking about it for a while. And we got a window, and the day is today, okay? So Ray gave this to me. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do with this. Maybe if something really is strong and truthful, I'll just shake it. No, I better not. I'll fidget with it. Let's pray one more time before we enter God's word. God, thank you for your word. It is like a roadmap. It's like a doorway. It's a pathway. It's like a sword that cuts down to the truth of things. And Lord, when we come to church on Sunday, we should experience some conviction. And we admit sometimes we come and we hear and we say, that's nice. But Lord, we want to live it out. We really do. And I think today, Lord, this message is so close to home for so many of us. We do not even realize our ways of gossip. We are so used to them. We read anything, we see anything, we hear anything, and we just sort of pass it on. And Lord, would you just teach us today exactly what that should look like, how that should be, so that we might become truly more and more like you, Jesus. That is what we desire. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so the title of the message is Gossip, right? And I said oxytocin thriller. Now, why do I say that? Because actually, scientifically, it's proven that if you engage in gossip, there's something that kind of happens to your system. It's like, really? Tell me more. Oxytocin, right? You don't even need to take oxy, you just gossip. No, that's not a good joke. Don't ever take oxy, right? But anyway, this is important for us to understand that what we experience sometimes may feel good, but actually, it's unbelievably harmful. You'll be a relationship killer of somebody, somehow. And the funny thing about gossip is once you say something, and sometimes you say things like, well, just don't tell anybody this, right? Or don't say this to anybody else. And right away, the question should be, well, should you say it at all, right? Because once you say it, it's unleashed. And then it takes on a life of its own. And I'll explain a little bit more about how that can be. Gossip may feel harmless, but it's hardly harmless. It can be entertaining. It can create avenues of powerful connection with someone else. In fact, you know the bonding effect, right? When you engage in news or anything about someone else and you're connecting on it. It can be emotionally relieving. Oh, I told somebody. It can be even freeing. Like unload, right? Some juicy news about someone or someone else or somebody did something to me. I mean, it can be all kinds of ways that we want to do it. It can even seem justified to speak it. And I'll try to explain some of that too. It may feel harmless, but it's hardly harmless. This is what gossip does. It quickly and quietly destroys trust. It wounds reputations. This is important. Scripture, we're going to get to some of that. It's strong about this. Wounding people's reputations. It doesn't matter if it's true or half true or false. Worse, will it hurt someone's reputation? It fractures relationships. In fact, it's so funny. My video went out this week about this, and right away I got a response from somebody. So it must have gone out to somebody, right? Loosely connected to our church, but connected to our church right away. It was like within a half an hour, they must have been on Facebook, right? And they said, this is so good for me because I just this week lost a friend over this. It's so relevant to us. Divides communities with poisonous efficiency. divides countries. Gossip is a polar opposite to the community Christ calls us to receive and build. For followers of Christ, this vice is confronted scripturally with the strongest advice. I'm going to give you some of that. When tempted to gossip, you want to know what Scripture says? It's quite easy. Zip it. You have a Heavenly Father you can talk to anytime about anything. In fact, I've learned a little bit more, and I'm trying to learn more about the spiritual discipline of secrecy. We suck at it. We suck at it. We get a bit of information, and we just want to pass it on. God's Word says zip it. For followers of Jesus who walk the way of Jesus, we're to speak life always. We're instructed to go directly to one another. I'll talk about that. Always we are to guard other people's confidences. We are to protect other people's reputations. Now I got to tell you, the church is the worst because we have this sort of community where we're close. And we know we're supposed to be close. But sometimes we engage in things that we shouldn't, or we speak things about someone else that we shouldn't. Even sometimes when we have care and concern, by the way. Because it plants a seed, and sometimes it turns into suspicion, and then pretty soon you've got a wildfire you can't control. Scripture says, think. Always have grace govern and season our words. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? Yes. So it's not that difficult to recognize a gospel gossip when you hear it. Even notice it when it's about to happen. Now, I say that, but it's not really true. We are so anesthetized to this kind of thing. It's unbelievable. We do it without even thinking. Gossip often begins, hey, I heard. Did you notice? Don't repeat this, but. Wait a minute. Don't repeat this, but I'm going to. Here's what I think. It all sounds enticing, and after all, inquiring minds want to know. Now, did I just date myself? The National Enquirer. Sometimes those things are true. Sometimes they're half true. Sometimes it's only part of the story. Sometimes they're completely false. But what happens once it's out there? Planted, right? Planted. I remember going... As a kid, you'd go out the supermarket, any grocery store, and right there. Do they still have that? I don't know why. I just don't pay attention to the magazines anymore when I go through the aisle. But I used to as a kid. And I always wanted to know, what's the headline? What's the news? Gossip, it's a monstrous vulture. Social media platforms are designed to exploit this in us. To indulge in commentary threads about people you've never met, you don't even know, but boy, you can voice your opinion. All kinds of them like that. So your opinions unwind, you're invited to dine in this or that chat room, all while sipping your wine. I've got some rhyming today. We have been conditioned to enjoy and engage gossip. So I'm going to say some things that maybe they sound shocking, but I don't care. Gossip is a virus more deadly than any virus known to man. Its infection and sickening effects linger in our minds and our hearts. We justify our gossip all the time. It's a communication poison the devil continually churns. We put it on like skin lotion, but the lotion burns. Again, I apologize, but it's there. You'll have to forgive me. With all that kind of stuff, it's just, it's weird. I don't know what's going on in me. Like, everything rhymes. What is gossip exactly? Here you go. Let's define it. It's informal sharing of personal information of another, often mixed with speculation, drawing a judgment about someone, about something, some way, somehow. And what makes gossip so harmful is the person being spoken about isn't there, okay? It's just a good way to think about it. They aren't there. Making gossip easy, by the way. There's no talk back. There's no accountability for the words. You're whoever that person is can be an easy target of conversation. It just loosens restraint when they're not there. And when entertained by another, further commentary only follows. And with gossip, it often involves information that should remain private. That's one thing that is happening today that's interesting. It's not about, man, I want my privacy so I can hide. I think that's part of a reason why sometimes we like privacy. But I think we like privacy because it's actually right. It's actually dignifying. It's honoring to some. Rather than plant a seed and watch it grow of something that is harmful to someone else. It doesn't matter what's being shared. True, untrue, partly true. Shared without love, shared without permission, and it's not out of necessity, really, your own necessity, but not necessity, or for the follower of Christ without a redemptive purpose to it. We really should be thinking that way with everything we say, especially when it involves people made in God's image. It's a pathway we walk on, sinning against one another over and over. Gossip is a relationship community killer. To get us to participate in it is one of the devil's, I think, most deadly viruses, right? It's one of his vices and ways he gets us. Because we often feel like we're justified or it's harmless. It's not. You know, do not murder, you know, Jesus says, but then he says, hey, you know, if you have hate or you call your neighbor a fool or you call them an idiot, you're subject to the fires of hell. You're subject to the courts. You're subject to judgment. What is Jesus saying? He's saying this is deadly important, how we do this with one another. So here's the painful truth about gossip. This is something I'll bring back again too by the end of the message. Is what we share about another in ways of gossip reveals more about the gossiper than the one being gossiped. I think that is like really good insight, right? Good truth. That when we're tempted to talk poorly about someone else or share information that should be private or should be one-on-one, right? At least initially, of course, that's biblical guidance. I'll get to that. But when we do that, what that's revealing a little bit, I think, is it's revealing more about my own heart when I do that about someone else. And I got to tell you, being a pastor, man, sharing gossip is like, well, that's my job, isn't it? To sort of share this with someone else in the sense of caring for people and whatnot or a concern about this. I actually am really starting to think that is not actually true. But as a pastor, I get all kinds of information, right? And then I forget sometimes, like who I should share it with, who I shouldn't, whatever that means for leadership, whatever it means, right? And I'm actually starting to think, no, these biblical rules are absolutely for someone like me who is privileged to so much personal information to keep it confidential, even though I may have thought, oh, this is something I should share. It's like dignity, it's like respect, it's like denying the need to know. Everybody doesn't need to know. Here's the truth, right? It tells more about the gossiper. It reveals something is wrong with the condition of our own heart. So I wrote a little ditty about gossip this week. It goes something like this. Gossip, an oxytocin thriller. In reality, it's a relationship killer, born out of curiosity that will surely kill the cat. To know and make known, pulled out of the hat. Did you know? Did you hear about this or that? Hey, talking about another, it's just chewing the fat. Jesus says, stop and make God's love known. Look at my life, my death, true love shown. I died and rose for this. I've buried that stone. So love one another and your gossip disown. Where gossip exists, a wound beneath lie, a hurt, a pain, an unhealthy tie. Engaging in gossip just makes me cry, says Jesus. This is a wound only I can unwind. Engaging in gossip, embrace my love instead. Be free of this prison cell, the need to gossip, this wound-producing well. Rather, love one another. In this well dwell. My love covers all, and in my love all will be well, and gossip will be no more. So what does Scripture say about it? Let's get to that, right? The important stuff to the meat. What does God have to say about this? Scripture's remarkably direct about it. Let's start with something from the letters. And I'm going to choose one from Ephesians 4:29. Did you know? This is a good did you know. Did you hear? Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for building others up. Ephesians 4:29. So listen to it. Does it leave any room for anything else? Do not let any, that's all, unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful, only that which is helpful for building others up. This just asks a simple question, the text does, right? It's like, are my words building someone up, or in some way, are they tearing someone down? This question alone should stop our gossip in its tracks. We need more guidance. Well, let's look at wisdom, all right? The second thing on there. Oh boy, I could have picked tons of them, all right? But have you heard this? Proverbs 16. A gossip separates close friends. Proverbs 11. A gossip goes around telling secrets, but those who are trustworthy can keep a confidence. Proverbs 26. I like this one, an analogy. I think we can understand this, especially in Colorado. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. That's really interesting. Like sometimes we think about these quarrels that go just back and forth and back and forth. What is going on there? It's kind of tied to gossip for Solomon. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. See, without brush, a brush fire burns out. Without fire spreading from one tree to another, a forest fire burns out. We know this. A Colorado instruction, a Colorado analogy, really. See, gossip supplies the wood, but it actually is more than that. It also provides breath to it, oxygen to it, even provides and lights the match. It turns a passing concern that we may have. Now think about this, all right? We are people of goodwill generally, right? We want to be kind, but sometimes we might share something that seems sort of kind, but it's our own need to share and maybe shouldn't be shared. Maybe it's a sensitive nature, maybe it's a personal nature, maybe it just reflects somehow on that person that we don't know the whole story. All these things, right? And we should just refrain, especially if we don't have permission. Have permission, that's a different thing, totally different thing. But it can turn a passing concern, actually, into a conflict. Gossip can turn a private struggle into public material. It can turn a personal hurt into a hurricane. And a single observation into a story that grows with every telling. Talk about a forest fire, right? I watched the Leadville fire this summer. There was a bunch of them, right? But the Leadville fire particularly, because I just like Leadville. I go up there periodically. I like to play around up there. I know people up there now. And I know the sheriff, so I don't know if you saw any of those, but you probably didn't know. Sheriff Heath, there he is on the screen every day giving an update. And it got me thinking about gossip. It's like, gossip goes out, and all of a sudden it spreads to two people, then to three people, especially if you say, by the way, don't tell anyone else. What does that mean? Oh, I can tell someone else, but tell them not to tell anybody else. It's just bad, right? Don't tell them at all. Just hold it between you and God. Anyway, so a fire, he's on there giving reports, and I remember him saying, the willow fire is 0% contained. Now think about if you're someone knows something about you, I don't care if it's true or it's untrue or not true at all, and then that's shared somehow without you being present, without being talked to about it or anything, which isn't love, and then all of a sudden more people know, and then you find out about it. The feeling of it is horrifying. In fact, I got caught in that about a year two ago, and I could not believe how miserable I felt. Like, oh my goodness, I just didn't think. I didn't think. And I think it was hurtful, right? Probably worse coming from a pastor, if that happens. And then he would say it's 13% contained and then 64% contained. You see, with gossip that's unleashed, how can you contain it? You have no control of who knows where it went. So stop it before it even starts. Whoop. Hey, you ever played the game of telephone? You know, you get in a group, right? What happens by about the fourth person? Got it wrong. It's a little distorted. How do you think that's going to happen with stuff that we are communicating? We think is fact. We're relaying something. Hey, I heard this. Boom. Just think. You have no idea how it's going to sound the fourth person down the line. It's like, so I'm gonna give some practical stuff here soon. Because we need the practical stuff, right? We don't want to talk about just how bad it is. How about James and Jesus? Here's from James. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Gossip renders our faith in Jesus, our following of Jesus, our witness. Now I'm just going to use the word worthless. I think God's graceful. But it really speaks against it. How about Jesus? Jesus gives a pointed, strong word in Matthew 12. It's read Matthew 12, like 34 through 36, some other places later today. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay? And God knows the heart better than anybody. And Jesus says, we will give account for every careless word we speak. Now, he also knows the ones I want to say and don't say. What comes out of the heart. Yet, there's something about speech that unleashes something. You can't pull it back. You know, I think what's really good for us is when we find ourselves gossiping or in a chance to potentially gossip, I think we really got to understand that it's like God's love for me is so strong that God doesn't go around and spread all kinds of things about me, even the things that might be true about me. He certainly doesn't spread lies about me. He loves me. He wants the best for me. Always giving me the benefit of the doubt, I think, in some ways, if I could say that God may have that relationship with us. He woos us. Come back to me. Where are you? What is this you've done? You know, you can read that in a condemnation kind of way, or you can read it as an invitation to relationship. Wow. Jesus is clear. Our words, motives, actions flow from the condition of our hearts. And this leads to gossip, actually, when we engage in it, I think says something about this. There's something unfulfilled that we have this need to be able to have to communicate that. Now, I'm going to talk in a moment about what happens. Sometimes this happens pretty easily for us because we've been hurt. We've been wounded. And we still carry around that wound. And so sometimes it makes us feel better when we can share it with someone else or we can talk about that wound, someone who even wounded us, right? I think I can be 100% sure on saying a statement that is a sign that God, through Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, has not healed this to the level it needs to be healed. All of us have been wronged. All of us will wrong one another sometime, somewhere. I think we should just embrace that, so that we can embrace the forgiveness and mercy and love of God, and that what we can do then is show that and give that to the next person. This will help heal the balms and the wounds of our heart, so that what we can do is refrain from tarnishing someone else's reputation. Get this, even if it's true, what they did to you. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't seek out proper channels, right, to find guidance, counseling, advice, whatever you kind of thing. I'm just talking about the condition of our own heart. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we got a lot of wounds. We carry a lot of wounds. But Jesus points us in a different way. Listen to this. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. First, okay, let's talk about the ways of Jesus. The golden rule. You've heard this. Do unto others as you had them do to you. This one's easy, I think, to understand. It's like, okay, I wouldn't want somebody saying things about me, even if they're true, right? So do to others what you would have them do to you. It's a golden rule. Speak about others as you'd have them speak about you. You've heard this before. It's like, if you don't have anything good to say, my mom would say this to me. I'm sure she got it from somewhere else. Probably her mom. If you don't have anything good to say, don't say it. If you don't have permission to say it, don't say it. If in any way it may be truthful, untrue, or falsely, and you know that that potentially could harm somebody, or once it's out of your mouth, it has no control where it's going to go from there, you should say nothing. Nothing. Only that which is helpful for building others up. Okay. Next one. God's love. I talked about this already. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So there's the heart again, the center of our being. And then we are called then to love others as we love ourselves. So this is like, do unto others as you have them do to you. So love others as you would have them love you. I mean, all this stuff is like, goes together. And the biggest thing about that, I think, when it comes to sort of the wounds of our heart and our reasons to want to sort of find solace in other people about our wounds or whatever it may be, and sometimes we hurt other people further, or we get back at them. Jesus has some things to say about that too, doesn't he? Strike you on the right cheek, what are you supposed to do? Someone sues you, want to take you to, what are you supposed to do? I mean, a Roman soldier who's your enemy forces you into servitude to carry his load a mile, go with him too. Do you see what's going on here? Jesus is teaching us another way. We find our healing in him so that we might be in God's love, so we might be able to love others. It's a perfect cure for gossip. This one I really think is important. We sidestep this all the time. And I don't know, today we have so much language and so many things about from bullying to, you know, sort of being a victim. We have all these kind of things that are swirling around in our language. And there's some good things about it, but there's also some very bad things about it, I think. Because it sort of puts us in camps where, let me see where this is. I want to jump ahead to this a minute. I got to find it. There it is. Jesus instructs his disciples, so us, he says, if you see something or something happens and, you know, there's sort of like, you know something, you hear something, you experience something, what you should do is go directly to that person first. Now, what's the wisdom of this? The wisdom is you can try to find out the story, the real story. You can give a person a chance to explain, or you can ask questions, right, about what happened or why this, or you can even communicate, well, it made me feel this way. I mean, you have potential for that. Now, understand, there are people that wrong us where this is like very hard, or maybe you need to bring a third party, but this is Jesus' guidance to us. First do this. And then maybe you can expand it, but then you still limit it to protect people. Give people a chance for confession. Give people a chance to ask for forgiveness. Give a chance for the Spirit to work and bring change. Is that not what God, through Jesus Christ, and the gift has done for us? It is. So the thing I wanted to say about this, and I'm going to say it real quick, and I do not have time to explain it all today, but you know what triangulation is. I'll give you the skinny on it as far as how I understand it. Triangulation is when a relationship information is relayed to a third party, about this relationship to a third party. Avoiding direct communication, that's what gossip does. It influences outcomes of this relationship or even attitudes and thoughts about that other person. It is often used to gain advantage in a conflict situation, perhaps. You're right, you get someone who understands, someone on your side, but what you've done is now you've formed a team, right? What else happens? You paint those involved in the communication into categories of victim. Someone's the victim. One seeking sympathy from another. Another is a persecutor. It involves a criticism. You're blaming another to validate in some way your experience. And then you're trying to pull in a rescuer, one who's pulled into the gossip, who often isn't even involved in the needed direct communication. And there it is again, right? You've got this squirrely kind of problem. It's very squirrely. And as best as possible, we should go directly to somebody. Now, there are always exceptions, okay? I'm talking about the norm of behavior. Gossip is an oxytocin thriller, a relationship killer. It really is a heart issue. If you think about it, let's think about something harmless. Hey, did you hear this about Taylor Swift? What do you think about that? It seems like she did this. I read she did this, you know? What do you think about? Now think about that right away, all right? Seems harmless. But do you know Taylor Swift? I don't know Taylor Swift. But I tell you right now, I have so many attitudes formed in my mind about Taylor Swift. I don't even know her. Why engage in that? Why? Our judgments. Seems like God would want us, whatever the situation, no matter who it is, to just pray for people, for their blessing, for their goodness, to might have a relationship with God, whatever it may be. I'm not talking particularly about Taylor Swift. I'm talking about anybody. It's a form of pride, gossip is. It gets cloaked. Our anger gets cloaked. Our woundedness gets cloaked in gossip. But gossip will never, never heal what is broken within us. It simply spreads the brokenness, which is terrible, but we do it. So think of all the judgments that you have of people you don't even know or you have relationship with, how often these things pull up on your news feed or whatever. Does it ever dawn on you how prolific it is in our culture? Maybe after today you think about it a little more. How about how prolific it is in each one of our hearts? How about in the church? Yeah, even here too, right? It's here. But God points us to a different way. I want to give you a practical. I wanted to finish by 10:30. I have 1 minute. A practical response, okay? Practical response. These are just tips. When gossip comes your way, or you're tempted to give birth to it, interrupt the pattern with a few simple questions. If you want, I'll send these out this week. I mean, whatever. You can easily get this from AI, which I don't think AI gossips, does it? Have you spoken directly to the person that you are talking about? Does that person know you're sharing this? That might change some things, right? Do you have permission to share it? Is it true? But again, even true telling can be gossip. Is it necessary? Is it beneficial? Does what I'm saying about someone build up trust, or does it indirectly tear them down? Would you say this if that person was present? Is there a genuine redemptive purpose for your sharing about another? You know, here's two things that I sort of thought up, so this is more made up of myself here. Some of those questions might be AI generated. I'm like, hey, give me some good questions. I got some. This is something I thought of. If the person has not been approached, the best response may be, so you're in a conversation with someone, right? And you ask a question like this. They're about to tell you something about someone. You say, well, does this person know you're sharing this with me? I got to tell you, that just like is like a word. Oh, well, no, but you just go, nope, I'm not sure I need to know that. You ask them first if that's something you can share, and I'd be happy to listen. Boy, that would change things. If the information's private or of a sensitive personal matter, right, I'd rather they share that with me themselves. That's another great way to check this stuff. You know what? If they haven't asked, then you know what? I'll just wait for them to share that with me directly themselves. It's so hard because once you know something about something that you think you know, right? You have the you want to go and find out what the true story is, and it just is. It's not a good. Go directly to the source always, right? Silence is wiser than commentary. All right, I'm going to finish with some conclusion. Okay. I had an incident, maybe, okay, it would have been the second week I was here at Crestview. And there was just some conversations going on. I mean, I'm a new pastor here. I just don't know what's, I'm just trying to learn. I want to learn people for who they are. It's a kind of a great fresh start, right, in a sense. And there was all, I was with someone one-on-one, and it was all this negative stuff. It was like a whoosh, whoosh, right? And I said, stop. I said, let's just get to know each other. Let's just enjoy being here with each other. We were watching a Steeler playoff game, too, and I'm like, come on, man, let's watch the game. I don't know what happened. I think there was probably some instability, right? I mean, who knows what's going on? I wish I could ask. That person yelled at me, walked out of there, and never interacted with me again. And I thought, this is crazy, right? What will people do when we decide, like, no, we're not going to be the gossip mill with them. We're just not. We're going to try a different pattern. You don't know what the results will be. You don't know what it is. But I'll tell you what, before God, you can have a really good heart of knowing that you didn't enter into the gossip. An interesting reaction to me. But let's condemn all gossip. Let's encourage. Let's invite. Let's empower us to love one another better. Let's protect others' reputations. Let's not dial telephone or unleash some kind of fire. Let's lean into God's forgiveness and refuse to light the fire. I didn't even have that in here. It sounded good. Go directly to people. Speak carefully about people. Or not at all, my mom would say. Forgive freely. Try and attempt to reconcile faithfully. You can't fix the results. It's up to God. And protect another's reputation rigorously. All right. Amen.